people do like change, but no one likes to be changed.
Charge the ion accelerator. It's time to forge the narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. Vacation episodes. What is this, vacation episode 3?
I think so. I'm not quite sure.
The third. Mark 3.
We are the Bell All Souls podcast, joined by Tanya Gates.
Hey everybody.
Adam Camilleri and Red Powell.
Howdy there.
What up?
Welcome everyone. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being patient with us as we trundle on through our vacation. Hope everyone out there is keeping busy, get the hobby flowing, getting ready, painting for the possibility of what is to come, hanging on every word from the Warhammer Community articles, giving us those drips and drabs, that sweet, sweet 10th edition info that we crave.
I mean, so far, I like what I've seen. Maybe I'm a little bit of an optimist, and I've definitely been avoiding a lot of online spaces where there might be a little bit of salt. But while I'm existing in my little vacuum with Warhammer Community, I'm really excited for the new edition.
It is important to that age-old adage that people do like change, but no one likes to be changed. And what we're seeing from these articles is that there's going to be some differences to, you know, either some ability that we, you know, have heard the name of or come to expect to work a certain way, or some unit that works a different way or whatever. Weapon profiles may change up the ecosystem of what we think is classically good or effective. So it's going to take a little getting used to.
It is. And I find it's really hard to judge anything that we see because we don't have the points yet. And I think that the points are going to be a big indicator of what is to come. So I don't know. It's really hard to really tell what things are powerful and what things are not that they've previewed. And I'm just really along for the ride and I'm really here for change.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing looking back on 9th edition now. I think this is the first, edition that we've ever had where we haven't been able to play the game? Like, worldwide, this edition came out to not the reception it deserved because of the pandemic we were in at the time, for better or for worse. And it's really interesting to see people's opinions that have been like molded by that, the way they were able and then unable to interact with this game. And I think a lot of people are just like want something that they can start from the start of the edition and enjoy the journey, not just get a little bit here, a little bit there, which actually is my personal experience of 9th edition. I got to play about 18 months of it due to the restrictions in my area. And yeah, it's been a really interesting one to look back on this differently to 7th, 8th, and then I think 4th and 4th was the last kind of full edition I played.
I wonder if that had something to do with the way the things are getting kind of shuffled up a bit. Is that kind of like start fresh attitude?
Yeah, well, I was at a club last night, Westgate Wargaming, shout out.
Like a bar, in a dance hall, and someone randomly just came up and started talking about Warhammer.
It's like, hey, you're that guy from that show? Oh man, I can't wait for 10th edition. Thanks, mate. Enjoy the night, and off you jam, you know, a little jive. No, we were sitting around the painting table at the nerd club. Just everybody unanimously was just like, yeah, I'm really looking forward to 10th edition, really looking forward to 10th edition. And these are people who... You know, I think there's another phenomena in gaming now as well. So I've got family members who play the first like 3 to 6 months of every expansion of World of Warcraft, but they have not played a full expansion of World of Warcraft since like Wrath of the Lich King. For those, that's like 10 years ago. But every time a new one comes out, they'll play it for 3 to 6 months. That's this kind of, some of those people with this kind of crew, but then some weren't. Some were people who hadn't touched it since like 6th edition, 7th edition, who burnt out then. And have skipped it. But now they're seeing enough things that remind them of where they were when they left off that they're coming back. Like model, you know, characters in units again, not all these stacking auras upon auras upon auras. It's really quite, it's beautiful even.
What we've seen, you know, in the previous editions is like the rules, you know, either with the nuance or flavor that is getting in the rules or whatever, the models and the units are starting to behave more and more like they do in our imagination. And I think that when you see like these high toughness characteristics on some of these models, like a Land Raider or whatever, you start to think like, man, that thing's been sitting on my shelf. I can do something with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really excited that there seems to be a reason to take every character, or at least that's what they're alluding to, because the characters each have their own sort of special flavor. I'm just really excited to get the indexes to see the whole picture, because, yeah, there's some old models that I would really like to dust off my shelf.
I'm also really keen. I'm really keen to see how GW goes with their second round of indexing, because I don't know if everyone remembers the first round. It was a wild ride. Some bumps. Some bumps were had.
I don't remember that. I wasn't around.
It
so
was crazy.
Can you give me the cliff notes?
Okay. So essentially it was I don't know if we've ever seen a more pure era of a min-maxing than we did in the Index Days 8th edition. It was just like, okay, what's the cheapest junk that I can put 12 buffs on? Ah, the cultist. Sick. I'm going to table people with cultists because... You take the cultist, and then you can make it, you know, shoot twice, all these things, Alpha Legion, move up the table, all this crazy stuff. But it was just like the era of min-maxing. What's the most damage output data sheet that I have that I can put within range of 9 auras? Ah, the Storm Raven. Sick. So Storm Raven, Gilliman, as many as I can fit in the points. That was a
five
list.
Storm Ravens, Gilliman.
Gilliman. And if your opponent
or
went
Fire
first,
Raptors and Abaddon.
Exactly right. There was the 13 Malefic Lords. If you don't know what those are, they never used to be a cap on how many smites you could do a turn, and it didn't escalate in value. So a smite was just a 5 to cast. Didn't matter how many times. And you got to cast it on a 5 as many times as you could afford it. So what's the cheapest guy who can cast smite? Oh, it's a Malefic Lord from the Chaos Index. And people would take 13 of them, and oops, oh, you perilsed? Well, you just turned into a Demon Prince. Lol. You got better.
It was still a random roll, but yes, it definitely could have it.
Well, okay, so then now that we know what the problems are in the index, how likely is something like that going to happen when you can't really get all of those aura buffs and all that?
I feel like you're describing like an Anakin Padme meme where it's like, they wouldn't let that happen again, right? Right?
Yeah, you wouldn't butcher a whole town of sand people again, would you? Would you? And look, in all honesty, there's going to be some busted stuff. The game is too big, it's too vast, there's too many models, there's too many things and moving parts for me to believe that the balance team is going to get it 100% right. But as long as they're quick on the uptake, it's just going to be fine.
Man,
it's going to be
know.
Totally fine.
I mean, just the benefit of the doubt of we are in a world where there is much more like access to data.
That's true too.
So you can have some data driven type of decisions in the rules and just design concepts that maybe hasn't been present, you know, in times past.
You know what I'm really interested to see is how much of a difference the more variance in the toughness and strength characteristics makes, you know, because it in my head, I kind of see it making a bit of difference for fluff and things like that. But is it going to like, how do I explain it? Is it going to force you to make certain decisions in your list building, right? Like, are you just going to look for whatever has the highest strength and highest toughness? Or are you going to look for number of attacks? Like, how do you think that you're going to go about sort of dealing with that variance?
Tanya.
What?
I own 5 Land Raiders.
That's my decision right there.
The Lion and 6 Storm Ravens.
Ooh, yeah.
Got 2 Knight Armies. One Loyalist, 1 Chaos Variety. Oh, bring on the high toughness.
Okay, so that's unanimous then? Y'all are just going to bring, like, just all vehicles?
Well, so we have to wait to see where the game is pointed. Like, it was so... GW got on the front foot in 9th edition.
Pointed straight up, all right? That's it.
But they came out on the front foot and said the whole game is balanced around a 20-point intercessor. They even said that at the start of the edition. This edition will be balanced around this 20-point intercessor. And that was, you know, all well and good for as long as it was well and good. And
they also said that there were going to be fewer rerolls, and I'm pretty sure about 70% of the factions out there have rerolls right now.
No. So what they said was there's going to be fewer reroll auras. Like there's going to be fewer just here's everybody in this range gets an aura. Now, you can extrapolate
on that one.
Absolutely. I am enjoying the memery of like, oops, all rerolls. Well, it has been fun. The T's and C's of that is that if things with like toughness 12 are just cheap as chips, that's going to be a stat check point for the game, right? That's going to be an archetype that people will exploit and double down on. Am I right in toughness 8 is where a lot of toughness 12 is where a lot of the toughness 8 chassis have gone, and they've created a lot more granularity between like a Rhino, I believe, is toughness 8 now. So a multi-melter only, and a melter gun, you know, wounds it on a 4 instead of a 3, which is essentially is way better than it is now. But then you've got stuff like Land Raider, which is wounds on a 5. If you can get just like, just, you know, 10 Rhinos in an army now, that's going to be an issue. That's going to be an archetype that people need to respect. But so it's going to be interesting to see where the internal balance is between, you know, the infantry, the mechanized elements, mm-hmm. the tank elements.
Yeah, we won't know that. I mean, of course, we won't have any insight into that until we get to see what those actual points are. And it is kind of fun to dream. And that's what it is. We're all kind of living in that dream world right now of just like, oh my goodness, I've seen a little bit of a slice of this. What can I do with it? I love that. I love this phase of the edition, by the way.
I feel like I'm in the movie Inception now and I'm about 2 levels deep.
Well, this is the time, you know, look, I know people still out there, you know, hitting tournaments and playing, you know, giving the last hurrah to some of their list, which you can get some insight into that on one of our other shows, the Warhammer Meta Chasers.
Yeah.
But there's also the time where some folks are like using this as a bit of a gap to just, you know, build and paint whatever their fancy is, because maybe it's going to be good in the next edition. That's the phase I'm in right now. Yeah.
Or maybe you're just, you know, playing Age of Sigmar and waiting it out. Like me.
I'm looking sideways at some fantasy right now. That's what I'm doing with this time. Although I am still like, I mean, I built a Shrike model that I had sitting on the shelf. I just put like a Dark Angel's head on him and stuff. And, you know, I will just be just rounding out my collection so that when this drops, I've got everything, every unit that I like, and I can just find what I want to play within it.
I need to post some work in progress shots. And I was given a Tanya a hard time for not doing that, but I've also been guilty of that these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Tanya. Gosh.
Yeah. Hey, I posted one work in progress picture. Thank you very much.
That is one more than I've posted recently. So
that is literally 1,000% more than I've posted.
Same for me.
You know what I did finish though? I batch painted 17 Glaivewraith Stalkers for Age of Sigmar. It was 18, but I broke one and I gave up trying to fix it. So that's another way that you can actually get through your pile of shame is just to irreparably break things.
It's the potential.
No, it's shameful. I had to inventory mine, so it's pretty shameful.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Does it never tell you the odds?
No, I work better with definite goals, so that inventory was a must.
That's good. I've been I'm looking forward to this edition, mostly because I also tell you that I have not yet rolled the Sanguinary Guard dice in an active game yet.
Shame.
Looking forward to doing that. The ones that came out, you know, a few weeks ago with the Dante release.
Oh, it feels like forever since I've actually gotten to play a game in person because my local game store shut down, just like didn't make it through the pandemic or whatever, but there's a new one opening up, baby. July 1st. I'm going to be doing a few seminars and running events there, and I'm so excited to be taking more of a, I guess, leadership role in my local community again. That's going to be so nice.
That is awesome. I mean, that is that's actually one of the things that helps communities thrive. You know, it's like if, you know, be the force that you want to see kind of thing. That's how things happen.
Yeah, and like I wish that when I was sort of first getting into the hobby that there was sort of like a ladies' night or something like that was like a little bit more chill and all that. So that's something that I want to do. I want to do all those fun things that I never really had when I was first getting into it. So I'm just really excited for everything.
One of the things we used to talk about a lot was that it used now the game is kind of solidified around a certain like style of play, match play. Just the match play environment is kind of solidified around a certain kind of 2,000 points, use these missions or whatever. Because and that's not a bad thing, you know. But we used to talk about ways that, of kind of encouraging people to change things if they wanted to in their local environment. And you know, one way to do that is, you know, if you're not maybe satisfied or want a different play experience, getting out there and actually doing that, you will most likely find other like-minded folks, or you don't, and you realize you should, you know, maybe play whatever they want you to play. But getting out there and being part of that game store community is something that maybe people are feeling more comfortable doing now.
And I mean, it's a great time to get involved because everything is resetting with 10th and it puts everybody at an even playing field. And mm-hmm. I think it's a great time to get out there and try new things.
Totally agree. I think this is the time to, this is the beautiful time of new projects, of new stories, of like, yeah, so much new stuff. This whole edition has, like, essentially about 90-95% of this edition, I have played Dark Angels. And that's essentially just a 3-year, like, journey with the same models, the same units. And I get to look at that collection now and remember all the crazy stuff that they've pulled off. Like, the one Deathwing Command Squad that deep struck into my opponent's deployment zone for the behind enemy lines and just wouldn't freaking die. Like, half his army turned around to kill him, scrape him out of the back of this ruin when they couldn't see him, and just, nah, not dying. 3 more points. Next turn. Nah, still not dying. 3 more points. And it, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, when I get to this point, I just really look forward to the stories I know I'm going to have, like, in a couple of years from now, which is a whole brand new slew of models, slew of armies. Yeah, who knows? Very exciting.
So does that mean that you're going to continue on with Dark Angels when you go into the next edition? Or is that something that you're just going to wait until
He's got a Primarch now.
At some point, I will have to play the Lion. It is known.
No. Now he's too cool for it. I get it.
It is known. It's just it's so funny, right? I play Dark Angels for like 3 years. A Primarch drops, and I'm like, well, I finished what I was going to do with these guys. You know, I managed to get the number one ITC spot with Dark Angels. And then, you know, it's like the mob. They draw you back in. Once you're the Unforgiven, like, there's no leaving the chapter, the Legion, right? There's no leaving. You don't just leave the Dark Angels. It's disgraceful you stick around. But what I want to do is round out my Space Marines chapter. Like, that's why I'm building a Shrike, yeah? I'm going to paint him like he's a Dark Angel, because my fluff lets me do that. And yes, I did do that on purpose with my fluff. But hey, it fits. the fluff being that the Lion is back. Hey, he actually is back, and he's taking control of the chapter again. He's like, no, this isn't a freaking chapter, it's a Legion. Bring in all the successes. We're just the Dark Angels now, and I'm gonna reform the Hexagramma Whammer Megatron, and so we have all the wings again.
Hexagramma.
They have all the wings. Yes, Fred. And so there is scope for me to have a Raven Guard-esque playing force inside of it. Same as for Iron Hand, same for all those other ones. So I plan to do that. I plan to round that out so I can play any Space Marine chapter, but they're all the same scheme and they're all thematically, you know, appropriate inside the same collection, whilst also building and playing some Knights, maybe. Sweet. What's your 10th edition aspirations? Let's do it. Who wants to play what?
Before we get into that, I do want to like celebrate one other small thing here. Feel No Pain is back, you know, as an actual rule. So when we say that, people don't have to be like, what are they talking about again?
Deep Strike's back too, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was I on here when I said we did it? We did it, everybody. We won. We did. We all need to be congratulated because we broke G-Dub. It took us 6 years. You know, but not one of us dropped the ball. We all held the line. Are you arriving from reserve? No, you're arriving from Deep Strike. Sorry, sir. It's Deep Strike, unless you're walking on, which case that's, you know, strategic reserves.
Or outflanking or something.
Yeah. Oh, are you scout moving or are you infiltrating? There is no, I'm going to forward deploy from Shadow Ambush. Shut up. Infiltrate. No, don't. You never tell anyone to shut up. you know, we all held the line, yeah, and we won. They broke. We're back to USRs.
Just happy if we could actually just say this, and because it wasn't leaving the vernacular, to your point, but here we are.
So the only one I truly want back, do you guys remember It Will Not Die? at the end of the turn.
Was it in
sixth and seventh. It was only for a lot of it was on big griblies like monsters and like
Tyrion. Yeah, I remember it because it's in Horus Heresy. That's why I remember.
It's still there. It's essentially a dice roll to get a wound back. I can't remember if it's at the end of the turn or start of the player turn who has the controlling model, but yelling it out and then rolling it to get a wound back when you had like one left and was certainly going to die and that changes the game. Like it was always a cool element to the game, I thought.
Did Wraith Knights have that at one point?
Well, the ones I remember the most are the Tyranid ones, like a Trigon, you know, having a 5+ who want to die, Hive Tyrant, stuff like that, Swarm Lord. Wouldn't be surprised if it was on a bunch of Orc stuff as well, like Squiggoth and whatnot.
Makes sense.
It will not die! Bang, hit the 5+. You know, send you back to the Shadow Realm. Done. You got it.
All right, so now, 10th Ed aspirations. What are we hoping is viable? Where's that dream space in your mind now?
I mean, we've seen the preview from the community page on World Eaters, and I just need to see the rest. To Tanya's point, we haven't seen everything, and I would like to see that before we continue.
No, but you can dream. You can just be like, yo, I hope that, I don't know, Chaos Spawn get heavy bolters or something.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'll take that. All right, sure.
I hope that I can play Custodes Dreadnoughts and that they're decent and still fun. That's what I hope. I'm still kind of on the fence on whether or not I'm going to play Guard or Custodes, but after seeing the Custodes preview this week, I think I'm slightly more on the Custodes side of the fence. But as far as aspirations go for myself for 10th edition, I really want to learn what it actually means to be a competitive player, a meta chaser, if you will. Yeah, so I got my boy Alex McDougall in my corner. So I've got my mentorship sorted out, and I'm just really excited to see how I end up doing in this new edition. But the real journey is more of like a mental game for me. I carry a lot of baggage from like not having the greatest start in the Warhammer sort of like community at large back 10 years ago. So yeah, the main task for me is to like drop the baggage and just learn to play the game And I'm really looking forward to taking on that challenge.
Awesome. That's super exciting. Can't wait to hear the journey.
Man, what I'm going to say, it sounds so dumb now.
Yeah, you ruined it, Tanya.
I can't follow that.
Just try harder. Come on.
I can't follow that.
That is a real strategy. Just do better.
Yep. Always has been.
I want the Death Company to feel like more like how they did like when I first started them. Like it wasn't just about putting a bunch of Thunder Hammers in there.
Yeah, but Paul, that was over a decade
years ago.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Times change, old man.
It does. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've already got him with Thunder Hammers, but I'd like to feel that unit to be grindy and like super effective at, you know, taking out other Marine type equivalent type things or chewing up most things, really, I guess, with the Thunder Hammers. But just that thing, I want people to actually kind of fear being locked up with them and then actually them be able to be locked up with. That's it. It's my only hopes for...
I mean, the only time I ever played against them was when I was playing Guard. And let me tell you, I did have the fear of everything from that unit. They just, I think it was turn two and they were in the middle of the board and I'm sitting there with my Guard stuff going, huh, there's nothing I can do except feed units to those guys. Mm. Okay.
They're going to be here soon.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to possibly having less terrain on tables.
Ooh, why is that?
I'm hoping to have less terrain. I just think there's too much. I just think all the terrain that we have at the moment doesn't thematically look good. We've gotten to 9th edition pushed us to such a level that the only thing we needed from terrain was function. There was a massive burden on the TOs to have functional terrain because the game was at such a level of lethality that everyone had to just let go of tables looking good thematically again. And I would love to have that back. Yeah.
Interesting. So I want to know, what is a good looking table to you? What does that look like?
Right now, I played on an event on the weekend, and essentially every table had, and this is by our standards in 9th edition, this is a very good terrain, and I applaud the TOs because they've done a great job pulling this together. They had essentially between 4 and 6 inch or taller Ls. And I don't know what kind of buildings exploded to make these perfectly all facing each other and away from each other. But seeing six of them across an entire table was just like, huh, I can only think of this game as chess, you know, when I'm playing this now. Mm-hmm. There's no trying to imagine myself in a war zone, imagine myself in the place of my miniatures. This is just remove the little hobbyist excitement boy that walked into his first G-dub. That guy needs to be silent for now. We're just here to play a game and move the models. There's no rubble. There's no, it's all very sterile, you know, there's not much character in it. There's no windows. There's no holes in the walls anymore because that leads to blowouts. So these are perfectly opaque, solid structures that are somehow destroyed into perfect L's with no holes in them. On hundreds of tables worldwide, you know, this is I want to see more. I want to walk up to a table and it has a flavor. It has a character to the table. But it's not just purely
slightly devil's advocate. I'm playing slightly devil's advocate here. But even at a tournament.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so there are tournaments that have, FLG's done a great job there. They've got, now they're very functional, adequate terrain that is thematic and that they have sets. But the vast majority of terrain I get to play on in Australia and, you know, at larger events is MDF laser cut.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about, I didn't know you were discussing just the aesthetic of it necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, functionality is perfect because we've done what we had to do to make it work within the system. I would like the system to be more gentle on terrain-wise and have less of it on the tables so that TOs don't have such a huge burden trying to get events off the ground, especially with the demand we have in the community. We, like, people want to go to a 100-player event every weekend, you know? They want the ability to do that. As a TO, you're like, that's like a bajillion freaking dollars, and I've got to paint all the things and clean and cut all the things. Like, it's a hard freaking job already. Yeah. It's a thankless job already. Taking the burden off the TOs is something I really want. And then when I walk up to the table, I want to be like, this looks sick. I have my models that I put a million hours into, because that's how I personally like to have my competitive armies. I like to be of the highest standard that I can produce. And I like to have them on a table that looks like it's representative of where they could be someplace in the great wide world of Warhammer, in the great ethos of the game.
So are you trying to say, like, you want, like, craters and stuff to be, like, real functional and not just, like,
craters,
a potential liability?
Forest to not just be, this only hurts me, it doesn't hurt them. I want to see ruins that look like ruins. I want to see, you know, things with area of effects and whatnots. And, yeah, I'm very happy with the keyword system that we had. I think it needs to be expanded upon somewhat, and also, but so it's already a very refined system. So I don't really know what they're going to do to meet my wild demands. But this is just wish listing. This is just what I would love to see happen in the future.
Yeah, we're unbound from reality during this part of the show here. We're just
this part of the show. Hey,
yeah,
every part of the show.
All right. Well,
does that land with anybody? Like, do you guys understand where I'm coming from?
No, I get it exactly.
You complained about this in the last episode. I feel like we just, if you wanted to hear Adam complain about it again, keep going.
Yeah.
Let's actually take a quick break. We'll come back and get Red's aspirations here. We'll see you in a second.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back. Don't adjust your sets. That was Adam, like, really, really talking about how he wants his terrain situation solved.
Mm-hmm. I want it.
Yep. Hey, look, the heart wants what it wants. We can make no apologies for it sometimes. But I do want to give some shout-outs to our new patrons. Thanks a lot for joining us on Patreon. There's a couple different ways to support the show, Patreon being the newest one and a great one. Also, some t-shirts and stuff with the links in the show notes. Click it. Check it out. See if it's something that's right for you. It really means a lot. It's actually allowing us to bring these episodes to life, allowing us to do some behind-the-scenes stuff, which should hopefully allow us to focus more on, you know, the creative side. See how that goes. But thank you to everyone who has joined us since the last episode. Sorry, Tanya.
I just want to say, I saw one of our Forge the Narrative shirts in the wild at Las Vegas Open, and it made me so excited. I was just so happy to see that. Had to go over and say hello. Adam, you were there, right?
Where?
When we were at LVO and we saw that. If you're listening, fellow LVO goer who was wearing our shirt, thank you. Made my day.
Cameron Brown, Rita Mankey, Wookie Monster, Bolter Goes Bang. Thank you all very much for subscribing on Patreon in between the last episode and this one. We will continue to shout out new patrons, send some messages up there. It just means a lot to us that y'all are doing that. And thank you. We paused the last episode with Adam and his thing.
He's passionate about it. I get it. He's got to, the mud's only going to stick if you keep throwing it. I understand.
I completely forgot I'd thrown it already. This is, I don't know, there's something wrong with my brain. Or
it's been a couple of weeks since we
had the last episode. Or if it's been a couple of weeks, or I've just done too many shows and I talk too much crap. But yeah. Apologies if you heard all that before. I have many other things I could wish list. That was just number one.
Look, no, we did say top of the list. What is it? There we go. It's out there in the world now. Red, what are you dreaming about? Hoping?
I as far as the new concept, the new game, I appreciate that there is a return to USR, right? Universal Special Rules. I really do feel like that is a thing. They may say it's not, but we got there. We got that back in to an extent. I understand the ability to appreciate it being separate. I really like the construction of it as far as the formatting. You just need to have this versus that. I think it's going to open the game a lot. I did appreciate, and it was something that we saw, you talk about the indexes and everything, but as the codexes started to come out, I'm interested to see what the codexes add versus what we had from indexes. Because we know that's coming back in, and what's really going to be in there? What are we looking at? And hopefully they've got a plan where we're not. There was this weird, we talked about it some, and Tanya, you didn't get to deal with this. You may actually have, you just didn't realize it to some extent. But there was this weird period where they were trying to figure out how to phase out the indexes as things went about. And so like a codex would come out, but still some of the index would be applicable or some aspect of it. Or, there was some unit that didn't make it. We've already seen where they talked about, they talked about what units are essentially going the way of legends or what have you.
I think the orcs fell into that gap a lot. There were like a couple of units in the orcs that's
right.
You could for a while carry forward the index version of it.
So I aspiration wise, I really hope that they've got a deliberate plan going into how we approach that part with the indexes and the introduction of codexes and what that looks like gameplay wise.
All right.
But that's, I know it's not drawn out and I don't feel them. I'm
super practical.
I'll say I'm going out of my way to not repeat myself like other people did, but
I wouldn't know anything about that person. Never met him before. Stranger to us all.
That was so last segment.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. I've never met a dead horse. I wasn't prepared.
I'm not gonna finish it.
No, that's a good shot though of basically like figuring out what that is. Is it just a pulling the band-aid off as soon as you get a codex, your index is no more.
Right. I mean, and what's going to change? We've seen these new models being introduced, and how those go, but what adjusts really? What's going to be different?
If someone were to ask what model I want out of a new codex release or whatever, if there is one, it would be a giant spiritual force of the Sanguiner.
What you mean, the like the Ghost of Christmas Past version? Yes. Of Sanguinius.
Yes, yeah. But he's as big as the Elder Avatar.
Yeah, that's actually kind of sick. Like nearly headless Nick of Harry Potter. Nick just dangling there at an odd angle. savagery.
Adam, you're on a roll today.
He's actually just laying on the ground. That's how he scoots across the battlefield. He floats around like he's surfing, just on his back.
I thought you were going to reference me, being like, Adam's just laying down right now because he can't get any lower in his takes.
Getting the absolute lowest of the hanging fruit.
It should just be a hologram, like Tupac was that time, where they just put up a hologram of Sanguinius, and he's like an effigy that like staves off the Black Rage for a time on the battlefield or
what
something.
What are those things that crawl around the bottom of the ocean?
Did you just say Tupac?
Yeah.
Is that a, are we gonna let that go? Like, are we gonna let it go because like that he's got an accent?
He's or... Australian. Yeah, I'm gonna let it go.
Oh my god. I say something wrong, and everyone wants to paste it out. But Adam says calls him Tupac.
No, we gotta let the internet do what the internet does. We can't.
That's right. If I don't give them fuel, who will? These starved internet peoples. They definitely have nothing else to focus on except my announcement.
Yeah. These folks are thinking,
certainly Red doesn't.
Thank goodness they're on vacation.
Exactly right. If I was to say something that I hope for 10th edition, I hope that it's not so easy to find the best thing in a codex.
Sure.
I suppose
absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a thing for a lot of the codexes that we get them, and then within like a week or two between our own personal, you know, deep dives and the internet, we've found the exact best things to take in every list all the time. Case in point's probably, for me, is probably Grey Knights. Within like a week of the Grey Knight book coming out, it was just like, well, min-max, Dread Knight, and Interceptor, and there's nothing else that comes close to either of those data sheets. And then you just slap on whichever support cadre you please, and it's always going to be the best list you could possibly make for Grey Knights. And unfortunately, that hasn't quite changed for the majority of this edition. I'd like to see a little bit more internal nuance, like some more give and take, some more questions to ask yourself. I mean, another example is probably Bloody Rose. Like, as soon as, mm-hmm. like, so you have all the amazingly well-written and cool thematic relics and Warlord traits for all the other ones. And then here's Bloody Rose. Okay, no, the other ones just cease to exist. You know, this is what I'm taking 100% of the time. I think that's a bit of a shame.
I think the mark of the best codexes are the ones that just have multiple viable builds in them. Like even back in the day when Tau were winning a lot, they were winning a lot, but there was only one, I'm talking about, you know, 10 years ago, whatever, you know, they were winning a lot, but there's only one way to build that list. So was that a great codex?
Yeah. I say no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can be a good codex with one really strong build. To be like a great all-time codex, you got to have longevity and internal depth. Yeah.
So were there any factions that got that in 9th edition, in your opinion?
The biggest two for me would be Drukhari in their heyday when they kept getting nerfed and kept finding other builds, and then Tyranids. They kept getting nerfed, kept finding other builds.
But I feel like Custodes had a few different builds.
Yeah. Eldari too. I mean, Eldari.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Eldari's been much the same, where like Hail of Doom out of the gate was absolutely off the charts. And then when that came down, they found very strong plays in Ulthway. Still some Hail of Doom, even some Beltan's doing okay out there.
Yeah, I'm digging it. I just hope that's a trend where, because, you know, it is kind of cool. Sometimes you know you're going to fight, you know, a certain XYZ codex, but, you know, fighting different builds of them through the course of the event is always fun.
It is. It's because I suppose that's a perfect example, right? Because I see that I'm going to an event and I look up on my BCP. I see I'm playing Sisters, and then I already know what that list is going to be. Yeah. I only need to click on it. I know what I'm going to be facing.
Okay. Okay. I got to play devil's advocate now. So
yay! Everyone gets
Is this a problem with the codexes, or is this a problem with Warhammer 40K players, especially competitive ones, being like chronically online and like crowdsourcing to min-max and find the best stuff? Like,
well, exactly right. The whole thing I said about solving it is very likely a symptom of everyone sharing information, everyone sharing insights, and then so everyone comes to the, you know, the best possible conclusions as a group, rather than there being anybody sitting on the fringes experimenting, well, as much as there would be otherwise, you know, isolated pocket communities playing, well, I like these models, so I'm going to play it this way, and then they get very good at that way and it becomes its own archetype. We don't see that. We see everybody just kind of finds the best possible thing out of the gates, and unfortunately a lot of us recognize that's probably true and fall in behind, possibly to the detriment of not finding something more enjoyable or more interesting.
I'm cool with net listing. I don't want like
it. Well, I'm totally, like, yeah, no.
Even,
I don't think
even
it's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing because sometimes it'd be a time saver, but then, it, you know, I like the door. I like the fact if you know that everyone's, you know, zigging you zag or whatever, but the books need to be robust enough to where someone can zag.
Yep.
That's pretty much exactly right.
That's the hope, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be the wish list. It'd be like there's a little bit more zagging, doesn't need to be like, oh, well, here's the Bloody Rose version. Everyone must play that. Or the other ones can't hang. I'd like there to be there's probably always going to be a best option. That's just how, you know, granularity and rules writing probably works. But I'd like to be like the other ones aren't as far behind as they are now from the best option.
Here we go. Coming up next weekend, I'm going to be in Kansas City, Missouri.
Exciting.
Doing some live streaming.
Nice.
On the Games Workshop channel.
Wait, is that how you say Missouri? I thought it was Missouri.
That's probably.
Oh my God. Did she just say that? No. Having a go. Yeah, I've got no idea.
Look, I'm sure the locals say it a different way.
I could be mistaken. I mean, I'm not an expert on the United States at all. I just always heard people say Missouri.
I've heard it pronounced that way also. I don't know what is more technically correct.
Does it end with an I?
It does.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Correct us in the comments, everybody.
Red's about to. Don't worry. He always corrects me. Surely he's about to chime in and correct us now.
No, I'm gonna let the mob take you on this one.
Okay.
Wouldn't be hypocritical of it all for him to abstain on this one. No.
If the event is in the same place it was last time, and I haven't checked, I'm kind of calendar driven right now. I'm just gonna show up where I need to be, kind of thing. But if it's in the same place it was last time, it's within walking distance of like a cool taco place, a few breweries. It's kind of near their downtown section. I think it's called the Power Light District.
Sounds interesting.
Cool. Yeah, so, you know, but then, you know, some cool places to hang out and also play some Warhammer.
So are you shoutcasting?
Yeah, I will be. And there'll be, hopefully some information on the schedule and what to expect that weekend going out on the Warhammer community site. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Otherwise, you know, just tune into Twitch sometime over the weekend on the Warhammer site. probably be there. But we're going to be covering the team event. So looking forward to that. Team events are always very fun. Team events being some of the most exciting ways to enjoy Warhammer 40,000. Hopefully we're able to do it justice on the camera.
Yeah. How is that going to work? Because with team play, you have multiple tables going at once. So multiple tables for each team.
We do have a complete wireless setup camera that can go anywhere and get shots from everywhere. And it got some ideas. I really want to cover the pairing process. Because
yeah,
I don't think
that's really cool.
Ever been like really broken down on camera before.
I love it. I think it's the most fun and exciting. It's a part of 40K that still gets me anxious. You know, I still get kind of shaky, like, ooh, what's going to happen? You know, even after like 6-7 years of just playing tournaments all the time, a pairings process just electrifying.
Yeah.
So everybody always says like teams is the best way to play, and I'm not good enough to get invited to be a team. And by golly, I am going to try my hardest to get good so that maybe I can have that experience someday.
There we go. 10th edition.
I'm coming for you, 10th edition.
Yeah, but I don't think the pairing process has really been given justice and diagnosis. And I also think it's fascinating and want to break it down. Certainly participated with it for years to some great success and some catastrophic failures, you know, pairing process. It's really where you can, you know, anticipate and try to do a lot of theory craft and then completely fall on your face. So breaking that down and maybe showing some tips on how to avoid that, or just break down the psychology of what the captains are thinking.
Yeah, I have never heard anybody come back from a team tournament and tell me about like the most excellent pairings that they made, but I sure have heard when people have mucked it up.
Everybody loves to tell the bad beat stories.
Yeah, I've heard all those stories, but I would actually be interested to watch that. So I'm going to keep my eyes open for it this weekend.
Thank you. Hope other folks tune in as well. It should be fun. It's typically great times. You know, it's like I'm well aware that a lot of people are just probably like painting or doing something else and just kind of, you know, kind of checking in and having that be around during, you know, when they're spending a little Warhammer time. So absolutely cool. But join in the chat if y'all can. We have a fun time. We also do some silly things every now and then on air. But
really?
Who knew?
Outrageous.
Get wacky.
Yeah.
Try.
It's not just all business all the time?
It's not all business all the time. We have fun. Come on, boys. It's a game. We have a good time. You know, never know when you might see a tough turkey or something come up on screen.
Oh, what? A tough turkey.
We have a seasonal counter.
Okay.
We change the counter up every event. Sometimes themed around whatever, when we're going and when we're doing it, or okay. themed around the event itself or whatever. And whenever the situation arises that provokes the counter to increase, we raise the counter. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a graphic.
So what kind of things do you have a counter for?
In October, we had rough pumpkins. So when somebody got into a particularly sticky situation, that was a rough pumpkin. And around November, it was close to the American Thanksgiving. So we had tough turkeys. And when we did Age of Sigmar coverage with the Las Vegas Open, we had when they found into a lucky situation, because Las Vegas or whatever, we did a winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I mean, which, this is just peak entertainment, right? Yeah.
It had the most electrifying graphic we've ever shown in the stream. and then when we did some coverage from Warhammer Fest, we had whenever two like epic characters got locked up in the middle of the field and like hung out there for a couple of rounds of combat, they were festy besties. Then we had a picture of Trajan and Dante come up.
So let me remind me why we can't have a chicken sound for when people cuss on this podcast.
I mean, some licensing involved. Yeah.
We need answers. These are the big questions.
We'll work on that.
Okay.
Oh, anyway, it's a fun time. We're sitting there, you know, we're talking about Warhammer, breaking down the games, breaking down what's up, and also having a good time with the folks in chat. So if, people are free, come check us out next weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Also looking forward to being around the Warhammer. What's everybody else up to?
This weekend?
This weekend or next weekend.
I am just, like, immersed in this store opening stuff, and so I have also signed on to sort of help with the social media. So I think I have a little meeting where we're going to set all that stuff up. So exciting. I'm also working on getting some models ready. I'm going to actually provide a gift for the Nova Open Charitable Foundation to raffle off. I'm not sure if I'll make it to the next raffle, but definitely by the raffle after that. So I'm going to paint about 1,200 points of Oryx for Age of Sigmar. And so I'm getting all those models ready. I'm going to be scraping mold lines and priming and doing all that stuff this weekend.
The fun stuff.
Yeah.
I'm helping my brother move house and then going to watch the footy game. That's pretty much it.
All right.
This weekend, I'm traveling. I got a little bit of, we're heading into the summer season. Family travels a little bit, so we're going to do that. Enjoying the little bit of a longer weekend for us. And then I'll be back, and I'm leaning forward into, kind of short-term goal. I'm getting my, especially as World Eaters were released in this last edition, I have a little bit of work ahead of me as I want to get my army ready for my next two major goals are ATC, going with some friends on a team, and then right immediately following that is the LSO, the Lone Star Open, that I'm really looking forward to. So I'm pretty excited getting this stuff.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, getting ready for the ATC as well. I'm going to have a good time with that. It's in the same place it was last year, which is a much better event hall than has been in previous years. The event's always been world class, but sometimes you had to kind of, just kind of accept the environment.
I feel like a lot of events have location issues at least a couple of times in their run. I don't know why. It just seems like good venues are hard to come by. If you come across one, you have to keep the owners happy so that they keep having you back.
Getting a venue in a place that is convenient, incredibly nice, has all the amenities attached to it that you want, can sometimes be a very big challenge, either, because of the time of year you're trying to do it, the expense of doing it, the proximity to where your storage facility is, to Adam's Train comments earlier. It's tough. No, so yeah, but what it comes down to is the event organizers, you can tell when they really love what they're doing and when they have a sincere desire to make a fun time for people, you get over that stuff. And the ATC has always been, early in the previous years, was in that category. This year you've got that, and it's in a great event area, which also happens to be near a really nice taco place.
That's always like high on Paul's list of things that make an event excellent. Is there a taco place nearby?
Well, it's the hierarchy. Is there a great burger place? Is there like a world-class burger place? Then there's a taco place. And then it's hot wings. And this place checks all that off.
Nice.
Red, you were there last year.
That's right. That was very nice.
Hoping to hit up that, what is it, Taco 423 or something? Is that the place?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Within really walking good. Distance.
We should definitely go back.
Yes. Oh, there we go. Well, that's our show this week.
Wow, that went by fast.
Oh, you know.
Always does.
Yeah.
Love talking about Warhammer. Love talking about going to tournaments. And love to eat. We pretty much checked off most things near and dear to my heart here.
We didn't talk about comic books, though.
Oh, next time.
Okay, deal.
To work in some comic books. Oh, well, folks, no, seriously, thanks a lot for tuning in and listening and being a part of the show and checking us out on the other things that we're doing. We're going to keep we got the Discord. You know, we're starting to ramp up. I got the Patreon. I got official season two in the works.
Hyped.
I know. Please continue to check out our sponsors as well. And again, everything that helps keeps the show going. It means so much to us. Other than that, it's been a blast, and we'll see y'all probably in a week or so, maybe right after Kansas City. Have another show.
Beautiful.
It's good.
We'll see y'all soon.
See you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Tenets demand you tune in next week for the greater good, of course.